due to an unusually high call volume, we are experiencing long hold times to speak with a customer service professional. If you are calling with questions regarding rate plans, offers or sales locations related to the newest iPhone 4 product, please feel free to visit us online at http://www.wireless.att.com/business center for further information. Please choose from the following options. If you have questions about AT&T's new smartphone data plans or would like to check your upgrade eligibility, please press 1, otherwise press 2. Did you know you can check for eligibility from your mobile phone? Call *639# from your mobile phone to receive a text message with your eligibility date at no charge to you. Otherwise, press 1 for an agent to assist.
Please hold while we connect you to the next available Premier Support Specialist.
We apologize for the delay. However, we are experiencing high call volume traffic. Your business is very important to us. Please try your call later.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 45 for Tuesday, June 15th, 2010. Phone of choice? Yeah, we actually forgot to come up with a name, so I just made one up.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Could also have been Woe Is Me.
That's true, too, but phone of choice is like, I don't know. I was just thinking about that. So we will talk about that in a minute, actually. I'm not the one known for clever namings of things. Actually, today we don't have all that much to talk about. I know we went for 8 days, and it seems like we should have a ton, but we really don't.
Yeah, it was kind of a slow time. Mm-hmm. We would have had a little bit more if, say, the Apple announcement wouldn't have been when we recorded last time, so we sort of filled up the episode with that information.
Right.
We didn't really cover the Zuckerberg sweat attack during the D8 conference or whatever that conference was he was at.
I think it was D8.
Yeah, but that's another story.
Yeah.
But anyway, you had your fill of Mushroom FM this past weekend.
Oh, God.
Five hours.
On Mushroom FM, I do a show called The Melting Pot. You all probably heard that like about a bazillion times by now. And this past weekend, I had my second and third shows, and I'm supposed to only be on one time, but one of the presenters was Jeff Bishop, who does the wonderful Desert Skies. He was ill on Saturday, and so he didn't feel up to doing his, so I just had this thought that, oh, I could do it, because I had so many song requests and so much material because of my theme, which was places. So it could be any kind of place whatsoever. Rooms, back doors, cities, towns, states, whatever. So I had 3 hours to do the other night, and that was a new experience for me, doing 3 hours at a time. But it worked relatively well. I'm still having issues with archiving with the encoders I'm using, but since I have Mr. Trusty little Eterol over here, and we have it hooked into the mixer in such a way that it records what's going out of the computer, it wasn't too much of a problem. I just uploaded the backup from the Eterol to the website as the podcast, and it came out pretty well. And then, of course, Sunday night was my actual show when I continued the whole places thing. So in all, I did 5 hours of music about places, and I still had requests that I didn't fulfill. So that tells you right there was a lot of material there to cover.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Incidentally, I did my first book review Sunday, and I know of one person who asked for the spelling of the name of the book and the author so that she could read it, because she wanted to read it. And then another person emailed me and said that he hadn't read the book in ages and wanted to reread it again because he thought it was so good. So I feel like I influenced the world in a positive way that way.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. And you can follow the show at twitter.com/meltingpotshow.
Exactly.
And it airs Sundays at 7 to 9, which I think you're actually changing it to 10 now.
It's from 7 to 10 Eastern, 23 to 2 UTC, and I'm changing it to 10 until further notice. There is a presenter who is trying to get ready to fill, I guess, 9 to 11 or 9 to midnight slot, and he's having some trouble because he uses a Mac and apparently station playlist and it's not as straightforward to do this kind of thing with a Mac, this internet broadcasting. So until he gets ready, I'm taking until 10 o'clock.
Well, I think if you already took 10 o'clock and you've got a following listening to you for 10 o'clock, then they can't take your 10 o'clock away.
Well, we'll have to see.
You can take your pot and go home.
Wow. yeah. Let's get back to business here.
Yeah,
talking about the iPhone.
Yes, as you heard, today is June 15th, the mm-hmm. day that pre-orders for the AT&T iPhone here in the States went into effect.
Yep.
And as the opening of our show said, there are huge problems.
Big time. And, you know, it happens every time Apple puts out pre-orders for stuff. There's always problems.
I know. It just makes absolutely no sense. I saw a couple of articles that they were quoting AT&T folks as saying, we really did not believe that this was going to be that much of an issue and that the demand was going to be so great.
Oh, please. Give me a break.
I know. It just doesn't make any... Well, let me get rid of that.
please, thank you.
Don't want to get stuck here. but it just makes no sense. We are attempting to do the iPhone upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
I checked AT&T this morning before I left for work. Didn't have time to do the ordering at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So the site was really quick and jumpy and snappy and all that kind of stuff. And then once I got to work, I placed one order for one of the iPhone 4s and had to do something for work. Then next thing I know, I never could get back in. It would let me in, or it would mm-hmm. go through the process. I guess there was like 5 different pages you had to go to. God. You had to go into your account. Then you had to go into services. Then can I upgrade? And then, okay, you can upgrade. So what phone would you like? Then you go into the iPhone section, and then you say, okay, I want this iPhone. Yes. I want this capacity. Yes. And then
I want this color.
And you want this color. And then it'll give you a thing saying, okay, well, now that you got the iPhone, which data plan do you want? So mm-hmm. we went with the old cheapo $15 one, since we haven't had a data plan before because we are cheap buggers. and it got all the way through that point, and the first time it processed. And then ever since then, it was constantly going, this service is unavailable, or your request was denied, or I even saw 404 server errors occasionally.
Gosh.
So then I thought, okay, well, I'm not going to go through the AT&T.com my wireless section. I'll just go over to Apple, because Lord knows Apple is going to handle this kind of stuff. Well, mm-hmm. went to Apple, really snappy, quick moving website, you know, you select, okay, iPhone, I want to pre-order. Okay, got that. Got the color, got the capacity, that kind of thing. Then it asks you for your account number, which is your wireless number, mm-hmm. then your zip code here in the States, and your last 4 digits of your Social Security number to verify your account.
Mm-hmm.
So it got to that point, and then it would actually just sit there and sit there and sit there. And then it would say your request has either timed out or failed.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple times on the Apple side, I actually got to the point where it selected everything, but then all this, it went through like 3 or 4 more screens and then it just died.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a problem going on all over the place just because of Lord knows what.
Yeah. I mean, they have this happen every time something new comes out. You think they would, I don't know, allocate more server space, hire more customer service representatives. God knows there are temporary agencies to handle the phone calls.
Well, I don't think it was probably telephone support. I think a lot of it was just the fact that their servers were just hammered to all get out.
Mm-hmm.
The web just could not handle the demand of it. It almost seems like they maybe need to just say, okay, if you're in, go by state,
mm-hmm.
you know, and certain yeah. states can register, and then certain states can register again, and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that I can see that you can get it at the moment is you can set up a reservation to pick one up at an iPhone store.
Oh, God.
But most likely Madness. They'll get it straightened out to where people can actually pre-order and have it shipped
yeah,
to you.
So your phone is going to come.
Yes, because Lord knows I ordered mine first.
Of course you did.
There's no ladies first in this.
Which makes perfect sense because his iPod died yesterday. Very sudden, nasty death.
Yes, I had one of the Apple iPod videos, 5th generation iPod. Probably had it like 4.5, almost 5 years now. It's one of the 80 gig models, and it just started beep, 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 beep.
It sounded like one of those old, you know, like an old phone would be off the hook. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, but I think the hard drive is dead. It's been kind of flaky for the last year or so anyway, and I've been trying to hold out until they came out with the all-improved iPod Touches, but rumors of cameras on them and things like that sort of made me procrastinate last time. So,
well, and it makes also makes sense for you to go first because the phone you have now, the keys are starting to flake out on it.
Yeah,
so
a little bit.
That makes sense. Now, for me, I've got my Victor Reader, so the iPod issue was not important, and also my phone is still okay. All my keys still work. The battery is getting flaky, but hey,
my iPod wasn't actually one of the hard drives, so it wasn't a solid state one. I hadn't really heard of a lot of problems with the solid state drives,
right?
That people are using.
And let's address something too, because we said earlier we were like, we're cheap. We're just getting the small data plan, and people are probably like, you're getting iPhones and you're cheap. For me personally, getting an iPhone is probably a smart investment decision because, well, A, we have a kind of deal thingy with AT&T since we're already signed up with them, and B...
It's not really a deal.
Well, you know...
We can upgrade and get rid of the crappy Windows Mobile version 6.1 that we are currently using.
Yeah, and also another thing that was kind of behind it for me was that I have a version of Mobile Speak that I purchased 2 years ago. I cannot afford to upgrade it, to keep shelling out money to upgrade it. And it will the version I have will no longer work with Windows Mobile with this new Windows 7 phone, whatever they're going to call it, Windows Phone, whatever it is.
Windows Phone 7.
7, yeah, well,
I
whatever.
Think they dropped the series.
I can never keep it straight. Anyway, it won't work with that. And I just got to the point where, it'd be great to have something accessible right out of the box. And that to me, was the advantage that I saw in it.
Well, and Android is very tempting as
well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I was very tempted by Android when the first Droid started coming out. And I know some blind people who have them. And I think, I mean, you know, it's definitely a good thing. I think in a couple of years, Android might be an amazing competitor to the iPhone if people keep developing for the operating system. I think, though, that right now the... screen reader and magnification and everything leaves a lot to be desired. And I don't have the patience to fool with trying to make, I mean, you know, I want it to work. And I don't have really a whole lot of patience to fool with things to try and make them work in alternative ways or to work around the fact that maybe some features don't work correctly.
Well, one deterrent for the Android stuff is the fact that it seems like all of the geeks and tech folk are saying that it's difficult to navigate.
Yeah.
I mean, when people like Leo Laporte and Gina Trapani and other people that have Android phones, whether it's the Nexus One, the Droid, or whatever, they're all saying that, well, it is kind of clunky and a little kludgy as far as what you're supposed to do and where you find things.
Right.
And the iPhone is just sort of laid out, apparently, because we don't have one, nor iPod Touches. It's sort of laid out to where a novice can use it, and things are organized a little better, and it's a little bit more crisp of a experience.
Now, I'd like to talk for a minute about a statement that was made by Paul Schroeder, the programming president of programming. He has some kind of presidential high title of the American Foundation for the Blind. He said that the iPhone is now the phone of choice for the nation's blind users. Well, I'm here to tell you that is an overly broad generalization, and I had a lot of trouble accepting that statement. And it generated a little bit of Twitter conversation a few days back, so I thought that I would take my own little Twitter survey today. Admittedly, this was a last-minute kind of thought. I wanted to see what other people said, why they would not purchase an iPhone, why it was not their choice. And a lot of answers I got were rather anticipated on my part. A lot of them had to do with the touchscreen. People were very skeptical about the efficiency of it. Even some iPod Touch owners or people who had had iPod Touches had sent them back because they did not like the touchscreen interface. Now, the iPhone 4, they've made sort of advancements in the use of and in the accessibility of the touchscreen, but these people were skeptical that they would really be advanced enough to make the process of the use of it very efficient. The touchscreen, I think, was the biggest thing that set people, you know, again, not against it, but, you know, that was the reason why they wouldn't want it. Other people pointed to the fact that development is very, you know, closed. Apple is a very closed system as far as development goes. And they were skeptical as to the responsiveness of Apple to its customers regarding accessibility issues. I've heard nothing but good things about Apple's response to its users, customer response. I don't know. Other people might have had different opinions. Other people might have Apple products and have worked with them and found that they were not responsive to customer needs in that area. I don't know. As far as being a closed system, isn't really everything a closed system when you come to think about it?
Well, I mean, something like Android is considered open.
Yeah.
You know, but technically they do not give full access to everything mm-hmm. in the Android operating exactly. system. They don't really give access to the applications that involve Gmail and some mm-hmm. of their proprietary systems that they have.
And I think one thing people might mean by closed is that there is only one screen reading program that can be developed for Apple because they guard their secrets so closely and Apple's the only one in charge of it. I think what people may mean is that for Windows 7 platforms and Symbian platforms, there are multiple companies that develop screen reading for those products. Now, BlackBerry is the exception also. There's only one company that RIM is partnered with. Humanware and Code Factory have this collaboration going on, and they're not letting anyone else, as far as I know, get in on that. But for Windows 7 or Windows phones, smartphones, you have different developers. I have MobileSpeak, but there's also some others. And for Symbian, you have others like Tox, for instance, and some others. But for Apple, there's only one and will only be one. And I think maybe that's what people mean. And because of that, it doesn't have anything else to work off of other than customer feedback. It doesn't have another developer working alongside it saying, oh, we did this. And then the other developer has to come up with ways to do the same exact thing because it's a new innovation.
Well, one problem with Apple is just the fact that they are a closed society in mm-hmm. the fact that there's only one phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's only sold on one network here in the States. Up in Canada, I think it's on two or three different networks, Rogers and is it BT or something? I can't remember what the other one is up there. And then over in Europe and other countries, there are many carriers, O2 and Orange and all these other things, places that actually carry the iPhone. But here in the States, they've got that exclusivity. So it's right. like, well, they can't get it on Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
People are still speculating that it'll come to Verizon, but they're right. thinking right now that it may go to T-Mobile first.
Mm-hmm.
There is still a reservation at the Buena Vista place in California where Apple always holds their things for the 27th of June. So mm-hmm. it's kind of, are they going to ship out the AT&T models and then all of a sudden on the 27th they go, hey, look, we've got it on T-Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Not that anybody here in the States would really jump up and down for T-Mobile, but it is another right. carrier.
Right.
Because T-Mobile is in a neck-and-neck fight with Sprint PCS for third or fourth place in the race.
Something like that. And getting back to why people would not want an iPhone, a couple other people also had things to say about the fact that you can only do things in one particular way, I guess, access application, do certain operations. There's only one way to do it. And if you like to get under the hood and work with phones, you can find multiple ways to do things on other platforms. I don't know because I'm a one-way kind of person and I'm happy to do it the way that I'm supposed to. I am not one of these people that goes and likes to configure things and do things in different ways.
Well, with Android,
not with computers
anyway. Well, with Android, you can do what they call is rooted and mm-hmm. you can get access to the internal functions of the phone and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of do that with a Windows mobile phone with a yeah. registry editor.
Mm-hmm. And
you can jailbreak the iPhone and iPod touches in order to get some of the same functionality.
Right.
The biggest problem you run into is it'll make it somewhat unstable.
Yeah. And with Nokia, a lot of people like Nokia because they say that it's easier to manipulate things.
Who?
Nokia.
Who? we don't really have Nokia here in the States. We have some cheesy, simple phones. I believe they came out with the N900.
So a lot of people also just want phones to be phones and, you know, think a lot of the functionality of the iPhone is unnecessary.
But the problem is that you thought the same thing for years, didn't want any extra functionality, just wanted phone that did what it was supposed to, make phone calls. But now that you've had a smartphone for 2 years.
I still don't see much use in surfing the internet with a phone. But, I mean, maybe, but I'm still not 100% convinced that that's absolutely a necessity to my life. But with that said, being able to at least check email and text. Checking email would be nice. Not a necessity, but nice if I'm not at a computer, which sometimes I'm not.
Yeah, and being able to do calendar and...
Doing calendar and texting and having a running contacts list in my phone were things that I really got used to over the past couple of years having the Windows smartphone.
Yeah, that's definitely a plus.
So, and of course, you don't have any expansion slots for SD cards and you don't have removable battery.
No, you don't. That is a true thing. A lot of the newer phones in other carriers will have a USB slot or something like that, or mini card, micro SD.
Yeah, right, that micro SD card.
You know, but the iPhone doesn't. They come out with one or two sizes. Everyone was thinking that there might be a 64 gig this time, but there wasn't.
Now, granted, I never used. I think I may have used my micro SD card one or two times. Like I said, I have a Victor.
Well, the thing is, with the iPhone, you'll probably start using... I'm going to bet that you probably start using it for podcasts.
Probably.
Because you'll be able to download them with iTunes, have that integration. It'll load them. When you listen to them, it'll delete them, that kind of thing.
I so hate iTunes.
You'll grow to love that little functionality because it's
well,
brainless.
I know you loved it with the iPod.
Yeah, now I'm having to manually copy stuff.
Now you know how I feel with Victor.
I know. I
do that all the time. At least it's better now that I have a card reader. I was stuck at 768K per second.
Yeah, I have tried.
I got the card reader.
I mean, I have tried things like Double Twist and Windows Media Player and Media Monkey and some other synchronization things, but they just don't seem to work quite as fluently
so
as
you have
iTunes.
Right now that Arcos thing, and that doesn't work with iTunes, right?
No, it's a Linux 5-inch tablet, and it works like a Windows mobile device.
Kind of cute.
Yeah, heavy bugger.
It is heavy. Well, anyway, moving right along, what did we have to talk about again?
The Mac Mini. Well, one thing I noticed this morning on the Apple store was the fact that they were saying that there was a new Mac Mini, which I was kind of trying to contemplate. Was there an announcement? Was there anything new? But I hadn't really seen a press release or anything on that. But apparently, Apple has released a new Mac Mini. It's in a little bit larger aluminum case. It has a new 2.4 gigahertz Core 2 Duo processor. And it has a 320M NVIDIA chipset for video graphics, which should help greatly.
Nice, yeah.
And it has a trap door so that you can upgrade the memory to as much as 8 gigs.
That's also nice.
That is very nice. The price has gone up from $599 to $699, but with the added functionality, might be worth it. But in everything like this, it is still expensive compared to things like the Boxy Box, which will be out in, I believe it's November or early 2011. So it'll be interesting to see what people do with that.
Yeah. Also, this is sort of accessibility related, but
we're kind of making this podcast a melting pot of goo.
It's a melting pot of goo, all right. The Twitter client for the Mac, and I don't know if it's for the iPhone also, or if there's like another Twitter client for the iPhone, but Syrinx for the Mac, which sort of does like what you would think of for like TweetDeck or Quitter, if people use Quitter, or TW Inbox. Well, it's not quite like that because you don't get them in your email, I don't think. But anyway, Syrinx is a Twitter app for the Mac that works in conjunction with VoiceOver and is accessible. And it has gone through, I guess, a series of updates recently that make a lot of features such as lists and lists primarily, more accessible and usable. Quitter just did the same thing as well. And there were also some other fixes to the Syrinx client recently. People were having trouble with the timestamps, and some other announcements were coming out wrong. So they fixed some of those bugs too. So that was just an Apple announcement, sort of Apple related. I figured I'd get it out of the way there.
Yeah, and one thing that was updated last week that wasn't really covered in any of the Apple information was that Safari 5 has come out with support for HTML5. Mm-hmm. So if you have iTunes installed on a computer, you will get notified that there is a new Safari browser.
I think I'd installed it.
Yeah. Doesn't hurt.
I guess it doesn't.
Some people actually like it on Windows, but I haven't really tried it.
Well, I think I installed it by accident because it kept popping up. The notification kept popping up, and I think I hit the OK button instead of the No button. But
yeah.
It's on my desktop. Anyway, I just noticed it about 3 minutes ago. So let's move out of Apple. Let's start talking about Microsoft for admittedly a few minutes.
Yes, Microsoft Office 2010 has now hit store shelves.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to purchase it in the different flavors that it has, whether it's basic, business, professional, yada yada. You can check that out on the Microsoft site. And last week, they launched the online version of Microsoft Office, which you can find by going to office.live.com.
Ooh.
And check it out. It's supposedly a good competitor to Google Docs.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have said that the functionality is a lot snappier mm-hmm. than Google Docs.
Well, I heard someone say, actually a couple people say that they purchased it, they've started using it, not the cloud version, but the regular version, and that Microsoft Outlook 2010 is a lot better than 2007. Much snappier, better IMAP support, and things like that. So a lot of people are really liking it. Another thing it has going for it is that it has customizable ribbons, so that if you don't like stuff that's in the ribbons now and the way that they're organized, you can change the organizations around.
Yeah, and I believe there's something they call like a backstage area.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's probably what you're talking about.
Yeah, probably.
Where you can kind of create your own section to put mm-hmm. things.
That really does sound kind of nice. I like that. I hate the ribbons.
Well, I believe Paul Thurrott of the Win Super site and Windows Weekly podcast, I believe he had said that Outlook in 2007 was sort of the redheaded stepchild, ugh, so to speak, of Microsoft, because they just ran out of time
mm-hmm.
and wanted to release 2007. So it was sort of left out of the integration with the ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big plus.
Yeah.
But if you're interested, you can. I haven't really tried the new Office on the internet that you can get to, but
I
it
might
is free.
Try that. What, the cloud version?
Yeah, the cloud version at office.live.com. It's free. Mm-hmm. All you need is a Windows Live or Hotmail account.
I may try that. That does sound kind of cool. So is that all the Microsoft news we have? Other than to urge people to update, because last
yeah.
week there was that ginormous Patch Tuesday, and if you haven't taken advantage of it, please do.
Yes. There were a tremendous amount of updates. I believe there were some issues with people's computers after some of the updates, but mm-hmm. I really hadn't heard a large outcry or as to what the issues were.
Okay.
And while looking at Twitter, I just noticed that there was a Mac OS X version 10.6.4 that came out today.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're running a Mac, you probably can update your Snow Leopard.
Another update that came out was an update to Adobe Flash. I think it affected, there was some malware and some security holes in Adobe products, and there was an update that came out a couple days ago to fix those. So if you haven't updated your Adobe Flash, you probably should do so. Actually, I got a request to update it on Sunday before the melting pot and said no, because I knew it'd remind me every 10 minutes.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's taking it to the 10.1 version or some version of 10.
I think it's 10.1.
Okay.
I think.
Because I know a couple of bloggers had said that the security hole was very severe.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the person that really was talking about it was Steve Gibson of GRC.com.
Mm-hmm.
And he had given the link for Adobe Labs where you could actually get 10.1, which got rid of the
mm-hmm.
Bug. So maybe they've pushed out 10.1.
Maybe they have.
Which is supposed to have a lot better support and be less
hardware intensive. I haven't gone in and said please update yet, so I'll check when I do update it. Other security news. Last week, the addresses of approximately, 114,000?
Something like that.
People with iPads were leaked out.
Now, these were not just people. These were
famous people.
Yeah, these were the people that got the iPad early.
Yeah.
Like government officials and military officials and celebrities.
Chief financial officers and, you know, all those kind of things. Their email addresses were leaked, and AT&T sent out an apology letter that really wasn't an apology. That was kind of funny to read, actually. They blamed the people who found the breach for the breach.
Yeah, it was kind of a shady operation.
It was weird.
I can't remember what the name of the company was. It's slipping my mind. Goats. But it was like, was it Goats?
Goats with an E.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because it was like, everybody kept saying it was some sort of perverted something or another get censored for.
No, it was just called, it probably stands for something.
Maybe that's what it was.
It might stand for something, but it's just Goats with an E on the end.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those security companies, I believe, that sort of goes out and sort of tries to break into things and then tells people afterwards.
Exactly.
And that's kind of one of those shady operations that it's kind of breaking the law, but not. It just depends on whether the company that you invade gets very irritated.
And apparently AT&T got irritated. But on the other hand, if they hadn't done it, it might not have gotten found.
True.
I mean, that's kind of how I feel about these companies. They're really shady, but if they don't do what they do, then things might not get found.
Well, that's a very good point. And out on the torrent sites, there is a video that was filmed a couple years ago called Hackers Wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a lot of different people talking about the roots of hacking, that it came from.
I want to see that.
Hacking started with a group of train builders back in the early 1900s that built model trains, and they would hack it, so to speak, to make it better and better and better. And that's kind of where the origin came from.
Right.
And it's got people like Kevin Rose before he was actually Kevin Rose of Dig and everything, and Leo Laporte and some other people, Steve Wozniak. So if you're into torrents, you might want to check that out. It's called Hackers Wanted. And it was going to be a documentary, and apparently from what I heard out of Leo Laporte on one of his Twitch shows, the guy that was creating the documentary actually had funding, or was very close to having funding, to put this out like on PBS or something, but somehow it got leaked to the internet, and that sort of killed the deal.
Oh, man. Yeah. So apparently the FBI is getting involved in this, and I don't know what's all going on, but I don't know what the ramifications are going to be.
But if you're interested in it, you can let me know, and I'll tell you where you can get it.
No, I'm talking about the stupid security thing.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the Hackers Wanted.
We need to coordinate this better.
It doesn't matter. It's a melting pot. This is what it's like on Sunday nights, except you get music.
We are not calling this podcast The Melting Pot. The Melting Pot and Tech Access Weekly are two completely different things.
I know.
Well.
Just correlating between the two.
Oh, okay.
Because this one is a
rambler. Today is really a melting pot, because there's not a lot to talk about.
Not
but
really.
But somehow we're making it last.
I know.
Which is disturbing.
We usually don't talk this much in a week.
I know. To each other, anyway. Let's kind of move on. Let's see. Where were we? Oh, yeah. I was going to talk a little bit about some accessibility things.
Yeah, go figure.
Not a whole lot, actually. There is a company coming out with a new GPS device called the NAVI. And it apparently uses gyroscopes, laser technology, of course, GPS technology, and interacts somehow with a braille display to help blind people maneuver their way through their environment. And I don't really know, because I couldn't see the picture, but apparently it's worn around your body in such a way that it's comfortable and chic and hip looking. I don't know. But anyway, if you want to check that out, it's NAVI, I believe, is the name of it. They need to come up with a better name.
Might be confused when people talk about it with the Garmin Nuvis.
Yeah.
Because it's NUVI.
Right.
So that could be a little confusing.
So anyway, if you want to check that out, Blind Bargains, I think, has a post on it. And I got the post from somewhere else, so I can't remember where it actually originated. Another tidbit that I had was that there is a new site that is being developed by ScanSoft Incorporated, the makers of the ScanSoft voices, and incidentally the vocalizer voices also, that are on the iPhone and things like the Victor Reader Stream. They are coming out with an OCR cloud-based recognition engine. Essentially what happens is you send them a document. It has to be short, 5 pages or less, in any kind of image format, text image format, and it will send you back a text copy of it in DOC or RTF, or whatever you specify. It will take PNG, bitmap, JPEGs, TIFFs, and I think there were a couple other formats too. And incidentally, it is a free service also.
So it's kind of like the University of Washington thing we used to use way back in the 90s.
Yes. Or was it Wisconsin?
I think it was Washington.
There was one in Washington, and then there was one in Wisconsin that did PDFs.
Yeah, there was one in Washington that would do very similar to that.
Yeah.
Might have been the same project. I don't
Maybe.
Know.
Maybe. Anyway, shoot, that's really all that I wanted to cover.
Yeah, and we did have some listener mail over the last week or so. Brian Watson, who runs a very good accessibility technology web blog out there, he wrote in with some information. He was pointing out to us that the latest version of Vinix, V-I-N-U-X, yes, 3.0 has come out, and this is a accessible version of Linux that is developed on the Ubuntu Lucid Linux 10.4 that is out. It comes with, I believe he said, 3 screen readers and a couple of magnifying programs and support for DVD drives and Braille displays.
Yeah, it's apparently very accessible and very good, and they were very excited about that update. And actually, that was one of the things that I wanted to talk about last week and then got put on hold.
Yeah, the Apple event kind of threw us out there. Yeah. But one part that was interesting is the fact that it seemed to lead me to think that you could actually make a bootable CD for it and be able to load into it off of a CD use it.
And yes, you can.
That's kind of what I've done with hard drives when they have failed and you can't get anything off of them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can go into Linux on a boot CD and actually get data off to an external hard drive. So that's something you definitely want to hold on to.
Yeah.
He also pointed out and slightly corrected. Well, he did correct.
Did correct.
I had bumbled the fact that Apple is built on BSD Unix, not Linux. I pretty much realized that after we had done the podcast, and I didn't say anything. So now I know what it's like for Leo Laporte to be corrected by his chat room. Thank you, Brian.
So explain then what it is built on, if it's not BSP.
It's built on BSD Unix.
Okay.
Unix and Linux are kind of brothers to each other, so to speak. And Linux is like a later version of Unix. That's open source. So I don't really know how they flavor together, but
Mint, GNOME, all these kind of things.
Yeah, there's Mint, there's GNOME, there's Lucid Linux, Vinix.
That's too complicated for my simple brain.
Yeah, there's a lot of them, and some of them are different, have different capabilities. I believe there's even a couple that are specifically modified just so that they'll work on netbooks really lightly, which is a good thing.
Incidentally, I'd like to point out that Brian has 2 accessibility blogs out on the internet. One that I go to regularly for information to put in this podcast is his Access Tech News blog.
AccessTechNews.wordpress.com.
And his other blog is called
The Bat Channel. blind.wordpress.com. I guess it's the Blind Accessible Technology Channel.
I haven't actually checked that one out.
Yeah, it looked like it was kind of the same thing. I don't know whether he puts different content in both places or whether they mirror each other at this point.
I'll have to see. The Access Tech News basically focuses on disabilities across the board.
Yeah, maybe so.
So maybe this is a little bit more specialized.
Yeah, but maybe at some point we can get him on here to chit chat.
We should try and get him on here to chit chat.
Because, folks, we do have plans to do that at some point.
We
keep adjusting our setup here and just keep trying to figure out everything.
Yeah.
And it's a never ending puzzle.
Exactly. Puzzles.
Yeah, it's a puzzle.
I like puzzles. I
hate
puzzles too.
Once I got them together, I had to number them so I could put them back together again at some point.
I never had the patience to figure out how they all went together.
Yeah, I usually let somebody else figure that out, and then we flipped it over and then numbered them.
Exactly.
And then you could just pull it right out of the box and, hey, look here, here's one. Here, oh, there's two. That's a corner.
You are so good at that. You hear the little grown up saying that to you, not knowing that you numbered them. No, I hated puzzles. I couldn't stand them. Anyway, we are about ready to wrap it up. We have a few more things to cover. Twitter. We have a couple Twitter stories. I think that was the next thing on our list.
Tweet. That was very bad, and we apologize.
Yeah. You started it. I didn't. Incidentally, Twitter is coming out with a new URL shortener, t.co. It will replace Bitly, I guess, and the other shorteners that Twitter will allow you to use. I guess they're trying to monopolize this. And they say they're doing it to not only improve user safety, but to improve users' searchability and also their analytics, in other words.
Yeah, I guess what it's going to do is when you actually post something, it will not count the link that you are shortening against your Twitter.
Right.
So if you post a really long link, it'll shorten it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it shows up on your Twitter feed, it'll actually expand the link so that you can see it. Because that's a big issue with spoofing and malware and things like that.
Certain Twitter applications, API applications, will allow you to unshorten that link. Because I know Twitter does this.
Yeah, I have TweetDeck and it'll do that.
Yeah, but I mean, some may not. So this is actually a really good thing I think they're doing.
Yeah, and it's not really clear yet whether they're going to not allow Bitly integration or whether their statistics are going to be as extensive as the Bitly statistics that you can do when you put a link out there.
Mm-hmm.
I did notice that a couple times I have posted like Amazon links and it would post amaz.on was the actual shortened link, so that was kind of different.
Okay.
So I guess they're trying to expand their shorteners.
Mm-hmm. Another Twitter thing I wanted to talk about last week, but did put on hold for this week. If you've ever seen tweets come out from somebody calling themselves BB Global PR, it is not really British Petroleum Public Relations. It is somebody spoofing them. This is a guy who calls himself Leroy Stick. I don't know what his real name is, but that's what his online presence is.
I wonder if that's like a dipstick.
No, he said it was because when he was a kid, there was a really vicious dog in the neighborhood that used to run around, so he and his dad used to hit him with sticks.
Interesting.
Yeah, you should. I have a link on our webs on Delicious to go to his, to a letter that he wrote talking about why he formed this BP Global PR account. And essentially, I think all the world probably knows about the oil spill, and that's what started this whole thing off. He was really upset, as I think a lot of us are, about the way BP is handling the situation and basically just spouting a lot of BS, especially in the first few weeks of it. And so he started joking around with his friends about, you know, all of this, and it's turned into a Twitter account, and now it's turned into a movement because he has a company, and it's almost like a fundraiser. They're selling t-shirts with BP Cares t-shirts and donating the money to the there's a charity, gulfhealth.org, I think is the name of it, and who were working to combat the, I guess, destruction that's being wrought by the oil spill. And they, I believe, have so far raised $10,000. But that was as of last week, so I don't know why the figure may have gone up since then.
Yeah, if they would have said they were replacing Facebook, they would have probably had 300,000 by now.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, but that's some funny stuff. I follow that just to get their those tweets, and some of them are just hilarious.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and the last Twitter story before we do our famous What Were They Thinking segment. This kind of qualifies as a What Were They Thinking. But anyway, our last Twitter story has to do with the New York Times. Their standards editor issued a memorandum last week banning the word tweet, except as used in reference to birds. According to standard English, it is not correct to use the word tweet unless you're talking about birds, because they are the only animals that tweet. People cannot tweet.
Simply amazing.
And I find this very interesting that he includes this in a letter about standards and uses contractions throughout the entire letter to his staff. Contractions everywhere. It was the most appalling, screwed up mess I think I've ever... Don't get me started. Okay.
He wants to be precise like that, but then
he uses contractions.
Yeah, improper business.
Exactly.
Speak.
Exactly.
Plus, they got rid of the... they complained to Apple about the Pulse application, mm-hmm. which was like a reader.
Right.
For the iPad. Their biggest complaint was the fact that it sort of framed the New York Times application. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they advertised that they were a reader that could access New York Times mm-hmm. to sort of build plug for it. Mm-hmm. So Apple removed it from the App Store right after Steve Jobs had been talking about it on stage. And it sort of created a big controversy about whether it's free speech or is it just mm-hmm. an application? How far can New York Times go as far as trying to protect their content?
So... my question is, if you ban the word tweet, can they use the word Twitter? Because only birds Twitter. People don't Twitter. That's not a vocalization people make. So can they use the word Twitter?
I shudder to think.
I don't know.
Hmm. It's
just
semantics.
So stupid. Mm. He uses contractions. I just couldn't believe it when I read it. We have that on Delicious, too, in case anyone wants to read it. But, yeah. Oh,
and I will throw out one more Twitter thing. I lied. Well, she lied because I didn't tell her about this. But I did hear
Well, if you didn't tell me about this, then I didn't lie.
Yeah, but women's intuition should have told you. Okay, maybe not. Anyway, MTV has been running a contest to come up with the VT, not a VJ, video disc jockey or whatever from the 80s, but a VT. They want a...
Twitter jockey.
A Twitter jockey.
So apparently what this person would do would be to...
They're supposed to be like at events, and during shows they'll be Twittering and interacting with people, and there's like 10 people or something that are competing for this mm-hmm. crazy thing.
Yeah, we saw this last night, and I forgot to include it in my notes, so...
Yeah, I heard about it on the news, because they were kind of laughing at the fact that Twitter now needs VJs.
That's really sad.
Or DJs or TJs. Or whatever in the heck they are. TJ Hooker.
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
Now, it's summertime. And
boy, is it summertime. Phew, it's like been 100 here for the last couple of days.
Anyway, it's summertime. And everyone in the neighborhood seems like has their grill going at night. Grilling hamburgers, hot dogs, steaks, all this kind of stuff. Sizzle, sizzle, sniff, sniff, nice smoke smell. But it's a good smell for a neighborhood, but do you really want to smell it driving down the highway? In North Carolina, down Highway 150. I'm not exactly sure where that's at.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
But a local grocer has put up a billboard advertising his business. I guess he sells steak and maybe sells barbecue. I'm not really sure. But the billboard emits the smell of grilled barbecued steak.
Now, this would be perfectly fine, I think, if it was in an area, say, some of our local areas that might be, hog processing
exactly.
or chicken processing
exactly.
plants or, God forbid, sewage plants. Granted, I don't know that a billboard would cover that smell up, but maybe it draws traffic.
Well, it's set up to provide incentive for drivers driving along this highway to stop at the store and get his barbecue or steak or whatever it is he sells. Now, I mean, fine, but I mean, if it was in front of a restaurant, yeah, I can sort of understand it, but this is like a local store out in the middle of nowhere, I think, on the highway.
I don't know.
Incidentally,
that'd be a little weird driving through at the middle of the night or something, and all of a sudden you're like, I smell brisket.
Exactly. You're like, oh, but he's closed. Oh, crap. I wanted some brisket.
Yeah, somebody better be open 24 hours a day, or there better be a way to turn that sucker off.
Apparently, the technology, the scent, was provided by, I think, Air Scent Incorporated, who sells air fresheners for businesses. I don't understand that. But anyway, and there are big fans underneath the billboard that just sort of waft this scent out into the road, I guess. Oh, I don't know. Weird.
At least it's out on the highway and not like on the street somewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
You have people killing people over cake smells.
Exactly.
I smell cake. I smell fresh coffee. Mm. I don't know which is better, cake or coffee. Cake or coffee.
Okay, that was overkill.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay. We are running very late, so I think we're going to wrap this up.
This mess that you have been listening to is Tech Access Weekly.
Yes. If you want to, we've got the contact information in our little ending thing. I don't even need to go over that, but it's techaccessweekly@gmail.com for the email, and TA_weekly for the Twitter.
Yes. And you can also leave voicemails. There is a number for that.
And our website's also listed.
Yeah.
And our Delicious Links site is listed too.
So, yeah, if you'd like to get your little verbiage or whatever or opinion out there, let us know. We'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And make fun of you during pre-production.
Oh, sure.
But we make fun of each other. So that works anyway.
We can't stop making fun of each other.
Yep.
Talk to y'all later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You may follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/TA_weekly. You may comment on our voice line at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. To find a list of the stories covered in each episode, please visit delicious.com/techaccess. Feel free to visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.